Uncle Sam presents Wings to Victory. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. Herbert Black, USA. The story of an air battle between two American fighter planes and 95 Japanese bombers and fighters. And how Colonel Roy Landers and Captain Joseph Deming, with the odds 95-2, broke up a critical raid on our airdrome in Assam, India. West Coast, ladies and gentlemen, the Army Air Forces present Wings to Victory, a dramatization of American heroism based on combat reports from the fighting front. For obvious reasons, the names of characters in these true stories are fictitious.
The American airdrome at Assam, India, is known far and wide as a hot field. It lies right across the Bay of Bengal from Japanese-held Burma. At Assam, the sun comes up like a big platter of fire. The wind blows out of a gigantic oven door, and the Japs add their wicked tempers to the heat. They have bombed and strafed the Assam field repeatedly. Besides the Japs, our fires have dust, insects, cobras, cholera, fevers, sacred cows, and homesickness to contend with. In addition to all this, the flyers of a certain fighter group and a certain fighter squadron had two particular characters as a burden to their souls. These characters were nicknamed Little Butch and Big Butch. In Squadron 7 headquarters, Lieutenant Neil J. Jigger Hartney is about to go through what is laughingly called the Little Butch, Big Butch meat chopper.
Colonel Landers, Captain Deming.
Did you want to see Lieutenant Hartney?
I do. Have him wait. Oh, no, send him in right now.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's just a bit of slack flying, Colonel. A bit of slack flying? What a phrase, Joe. You're softening up? No such a thing as a bit of slack flying. It's a major offense.
Well, I more or less said that for Sergeant Jones' benefit.
Lieutenant Hartney reports his order, sir. Good morning, Colonel.
Morning. I say, he is a careless-looking rascal.
Yep, Daredevil Hartney, they call him. Right, Lieutenant? Well, sir, I'd hardly say that...
Come, don't be modest just because I'm here.
But the captain knows, sir, that I'm usually very careful.
Did you say usually?
Yes, sir.
You like that word usually, Colonel?
One of the nastiest weasel words in flying. A boy who is usually careful is usually dead.
Well put, sir. Wasn't it, Hartney?
Oh, yes, indeed.
You made a crosswind landing, didn't you?
Crosswind, sir? Oh, not exactly crosswind. No, sir.
Don't bandy words, Lieutenant. It was a bad, careless crosswind landing. I saw it. I was right behind you.
Yes, sir.
Tomorrow, Colonel, this young man will be known in the bazaars and barrooms of Calcutta as Hoopsnake Hartney. He comes rolling in from any angle.
Can't something be done, Captain?
Well, I doubt it, but I'm going to try. Lieutenant Hartney?
Yes, sir.
When is your next leave?
Saturday, sir.
It's canceled. And what do you expect to be doing at high noon today?
Well, sir, I usually... I sleep, unless there's an alert or unless I'm on readiness or...
You're not on readiness today.
No, sir.
Oh, I'm sure you're mistaken, Lieutenant. You'll be on readiness. In fact, you'll be right up there in the sky practicing landings.
Yes, sir.
Three landings.
Make it six landings.
I stand corrected by Colonel Landers. Six it is.
Yes, sir.
Any remarks, Colonel?
Have we a link trainer in the station?
No, I'm afraid not.
Too bad. At Clark Field, old General Shane used to stake us out in a dummy ship about the size of a link trainer. A man could lose 15 pounds in 2 hours.
A great idea. I'll see if I can get a link trainer. I don't think the sun is quite as hot down here, but But with a blind flying hood on, it has possibilities.
Definitely.
Yes, sir.
What was that?
Oh, nothing, sir.
Remember this, Mr. What's-Your-Name. A pilot isn't a pilot just because he's flown a few combat missions. A sloppy landing means a swelled head in the cockpit. I won't have carelessness in my command. That's all. Take him, Joe.
Is that a blush of shame, Lieutenant?
Yes, sir.
Good. You may go.
Thank you, sir.
Old Goober Shane would have fined him $50 in addition.
Yeah, Colonel, he fined them?
Anything up to 2 months' pay. It wasn't in the book. But if a man squawked, Goober shipped him.
2 months' pay for what? Washing out a plane?
He'd have hanged an officer for that. He fined me 2 months' pay for taking off cross-country without a pistol in the canteen.
Gosh, Colonel, I'm pampering these boys.
That's right. Toughen up. Toughen up. At times you seem almost sentimental, Joe.
You watch me from now on. Just watch.
Lieutenant Jigger Hartney walked slowly back from squadron headquarters to the bungalow he shared with Lieutenant Keith, Savvy Williams, and six other pilots. Lieutenant Williams was waiting for him on the screen veranda.
Jigger, for the love of Mike, what happened?
You should have been there.
He grounded you?
No, just wiped me all over the floor. Big Butch was there, too.
Little Butch and Big Butch both?
Yeah, and I'm Hamburger. Open up a bun and I'll lie down.
Oh.
You should have been there, pal.
Well, what's the punishment?
Leave canceled. I stay on readiness. I make 6 practice landings at high noon.
Well, this is the worst yet. I think Captain Deming's gone off his nut.
Nah, I blame the colonel. That old so-and-so eggs the skipper on. Do I hate that guy.
Well, that's no excuse for the skipper. He copies Landers because he's that sort himself. Little Butch and Big Butch. What a team. You mean he's really going to make you practice landings like a primary cadet?
At high noon.
Well, I wouldn't do it. I'd go on sick report first. My gosh, Ginger, you're an ace.
They trumped me, Savvy. They trumped me.
Whew. Now, look, this isn't funny. And it's going to get worse. Big Butch Landers is a cold-blooded killer. Why, he's 38 years old. He's got no business flying fighters. He doesn't have to go on missions. He goes because he loves it. He's got 19 planes in this war already. Now, that would be enough to satisfy any normal fellow.
Who said he had to be normal? He's the group commander. And boy, does he know how to snarl.
Yeah. I suppose Little Butch played right up to him.
All the way. Such sarcasm.
You know, when they do that to you at flying school, it's just plain bully. Down here, it isn't even human.
Who said Deming and Landers are human? Who said it? Let me at him and I'll
quit
murder.
Clowning. This is serious. You know, we ought to get the gang together and see what...
No warning.
Uh-oh.
That means us, Savvy. Come on.
Hey, that's a break. If you do okay, maybe the skipper will give you your leave back, huh?
Lieutenants Hartney and Williams distinguished themselves in that dogfight over Assam. They shot down a Nakashima bomber and 2 Zeros. And Lieutenant Hartney was exceedingly careful about his landing. He and Williams climbed out of their planes and walked hopefully towards Squadron Commander Deming's B-40 Warhawk.
Williams! Hartley! Just a moment!
You bet, Skipper. We were just coming in.
How did I land, sir? Was it okay this time?
Not bad, Hartley. Use it as a pattern for your practice this noon.
Oh, I thought maybe...
Look, Skipper, he did some pretty good work up there. He claims a zero and half a Nakajima. Maybe... What was he supposed to do, miss him?
No, but it seems like you might...
Mr. Williams, please give me your undivided attention for just a moment.
Yes, sir.
Are you aware that you muffed my recall signal?
A recall signal? For when?
After number 3 flight went down to work on the bomber. Lieutenant Hartney, did you hear the signal?
Yes, sir, but Savvy was right in the midst of 7 or 8 jabs.
He did the same thing the other day. I let it pass. One missed signal might mean trouble for all of us. Lieutenant Williams?
Yes, sir.
Go to the flight surgeon and have your ears examined.
Why, I hear perfectly well, sir.
That's an order.
Yes.
If he finds that your hearing is normal, I want you to borrow a hand siren from the ground crew. Take it to your room and practice listening so you'll know how the recall sounds next time.
As you say, sir. But don't you think that's a little childish?
I lost a pilot at Moresby on one muffed signal.
Oh, I appreciate your solicitude.
Not at all. We're short of planes just now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But what Lieutenant Williams and Hartney didn't suspect was the scene in Colonel Lander's office about an hour later. A general from staff headquarters had Big Butch on the carpet.
You call yourselves a fighter group?
Ah, you might as well stay out of the air. 80% isn't good enough in this league.
No, sir.
90% isn't good enough. Even 98%. You're supposed to stop Jap bombers before they get through to Calcutta.
That's right, sir.
Well, stop them then. You can't get off the ground, throw rocks at them. You can't shoot them down, make faces at them. Get on the beam. You stumble bums are making me old before my time.
We'll do better. A whole lot better.
I hope so. You're here to kill Japs, kill them. I won't stand for any more thumb-sucking or tiddlywink twiddling at this field.
I understand perfectly, General.
You any excuses to offer for letting 9 Japs get by you yesterday?
No, sir.
Well, I have. You're warning that it's too slow, for one thing. Get after the British hot and heavy for that.
Yes, sir.
Revise your ground setup. You've got too much waste motion flying them off the line.
I'll get after that.
You're obviously not covering the sky by sectors and altitude levels. Air warfare is three-dimensional. Or have you heard?
A vague rumor, sir.
Get yourself a cloud and wind drift study for this coast. Check up your weather officers. Japs are suckering you because your tactics aren't tied in tight enough with cloud conditions. Japs are like rats. You've got to watch every hole in the sky, all the way up and down.
That's right, General.
Now, you know all these things, Roy. Go and do them. But by Sam Hill, heads will roll in the sand. You hear?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. Okay. Now, get me a hope, don't you?
Colonel, you sent for me, and I know just what you're going to say.
Yes, we were terrible today, Deming. I've just been listening to the general. He really ticked me off.
Well, someone should tick the staff off, too.
Don't worry. Someone will. We haven't been working hard enough. That's the trouble. Or have you some other explanation for letting the Japs sucker you on that first attack?
You know, we've practiced that head-on stuff 100 times. We needed maybe 110 times.
There isn't fast enough coordination among the squadrons, Joe. Heat or no heat, we're going to run practice sessions every afternoon. We've got to cut our takeoff time way down.
Yes, but the warning net doesn't work fast enough either. We had just 17 minutes today.
I know.
Well, we ought to keep at least one plane up on continuous patrol, night and day.
It's a good idea. We'll do it. And I want all squadron commanders and flight leaders over here right after dinner. We're going to have a skull session on tactics.
Good. We'll sweat it out.
Sweat. I want to see little drops of blood on the floor. The next time those Japs come, we've got to knock them all down or scatter them and drive them back.
That evening, Lieutenant Williams and Lieutenant Hartney sat brooding in a corner of the pilot's ready room. Electric fans mixed up the heat, cigarette smoke, and small talk, and hurled it in languid gusts across the room. A few extremely energetic lads were playing darts. A few tired boys slept in chairs.
Come on, Savvy, snap out of it. I'll play you some gin rummy, huh?
Oh, no thanks.
Well, what's the use of thinking about it? My ears are 100%.
Yeah?
Doc Summers thought I'd gone gaga. What if I did miss a signal? Those guys have missed plenty themselves.
Oh, quit it. You got off easy. You know what Big Butch did to Tommy Andrews this afternoon?
Cut his throat?
Worse than that. He claimed Tommy fired some tracers past number 5's leader. So he ordered Tommy to take a plane recognition test in the morning. The poor kid's in his room with models and pictures cramming for it.
Oh, they won't get away with this. They can't treat combat pilots like school kids.
Oh, yeah? The book says they can, pal.
Oh, they're destroying morale, that's what. And if I had my way...
Oh, yes.
Hey, I got some wonderful news. Tension, tension, you guys.
Oh, what's up, Tom? All right, pipe down, you guys. Give Harry a chance to tell us. Is the colonel leaving, or is it the skipper?
No bad news like that. This is happy news.
Well, come on, you goof. Give out. What is it?
Well, it seems we need more fresh air and exercise. So guess what? We're going to fly an hour patrol, each one of us in rotation.
Oh, no.
Way up in the blue sky above this field, night and day, night and day.
Oh, that's all.
Well, is that all you guys are going to do? Just grouse a little and take it?
What's that, Savvy? What'd you say?
I said
he didn't say anything. Come on, Savvy.
Hey, let go of me. I'm not afraid to say what I think. I say we shouldn't take any more of this. Colonel and the skipper are a couple of sadistic, roughneck mugs. They've been hazing us ever since they came. Well, this order is just a nasty gag to rouse us out of bed. And that's all any of you guys can make out.
Pay no attention, boy.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Savvy. A patrol plane might pick up some Japs sneaking through and save us all a pacing.
Oh, sure. So Big Butch and Little Butch can sleep the sleep of the just, huh?
Pipe down, Savvy. You're blowing your top.
You've got those guys wrong, kid. They put their names on the list.
Oh, don't give me that.
Well, here it is, wise guy. Take a good look. Colonel Roy Landers, Captain Joseph Deming. And they start off at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. They do anything they ask us to do.
I hate them, too, but I give them credit.
Nobody likes them, but they're good officers.
They're the meanest so-and-sos I ever served under. But they know their business.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so they know their business. Wait till you get caught up there on patrol all by yourself and have 30 zeros jump on you.
That's easy. You flash the field, take evasive action, and run.
Oh, no. They'd order you to stay and fight the whole Jap Air Force.
Oh, yeah. Well, why scream at me?
Lieutenant Jigger Hockney was stuck for the first 4 a.m. patrol. His alarm clock, going off at 3:15 a.m., found Lieutenant Savvy Williams already awake.
What a war. The Japs are going to pay for this. I'm going to... Hey, Savvy, ain't you asleep?
No.
How's about you flying my patrol and me going back to bed?
Okay, I will.
No, I'm just kidding.
I mean it. Can't sleep anyway.
Stay in bed. If you're goofing up to do it, I'm not goofing up to let you. I bet I get a court in 50 years in Leavenworth. I can see Little Butch and Big Butch. Those faces. Oh.
How much longer are you going to stand this, Jigger?
Oh, you talk foolish. Where's my other shoe?
Well, we can put in for a transfer.
Go to sleep.
They'd be glad to get rid of it. The big Air Force. Well, why put up with it? They're going to get us in a bad jam one of these days. That's what they'll do.
You got the Hindu heebie-jeebies.
Oh, no, listen. They'll get us all into a massacre. I can see it coming. They're both cold-blooded, heartless killers. A guy's life doesn't mean a thing to them. This patrol routine is the tip-off.
You're nuts, Abby. Here, read the orders again. It's left entirely to our judgment whether we fight or run. Now, get a hold of yourself and shut up.
Well, I still say that...
I'm going to finish dressing outside.
Hey, Jigger, wait a minute.
Lieutenant Hartney was patrolling that morning, 15 miles east of the airdrome at 20,000 feet. The dawn came up like thunder. Three Jap bombers poked their noses out of a tumbled haystack of clouds.
Hello, Tunerville. Hello, Tunerville.
This is Tunerville, receiving you.
This is Jigger. Nothing in sight but three big fly specks on my watch. They're right at 5 o'clock.
Okay, Hartney. It's understood.
I'm going to look around the treetops. The leaves are such a nice yellow.
Roger, but you'd better wait for your friends.
Nope. Just can't wait. Here I go.
Colonel Anders and Captain Deming reviewed that morning's combat in the group commander's office.
7 hours extra work and it paid off. You see, Joe?
Yes, I thought our attack was a lot better. We dropped those three bombers fast.
Everything was a little better. We cut a minute and 40 seconds off the takeoff time. Our patrol plane slowed them up with its attack. I'd like to have the patrol attack every time.
Regardless of odds, Colonel?
Well, perhaps it wouldn't be justifiable under all conditions, but...
What's anything up to a dozen Japs?
I'll think it over. Oh, by the way, how did our patrol pilot make out?
Well, he had one bomber on fire when we got there, and then he took a bad pounding and crash-landed.
Was he hurt?
Yes. Got a shell in his leg, broke some bones.
Who was it? A good man?
Young Hartney. I had him on the carpet yesterday, remember?
Oh, yes.
Savvy Williams, his roommate, seems to be quite broken up about it.
Broken up? Isn't Hartney going to live?
Yes, but he may not be able to fly again.
Oh, that is tough. I'd rather take a good killing myself.
Yeah, Doc Summers wants me to ground young Williams.
The kid's that much upset?
He feels pretty bad. But Doc has the wrong idea. We're not running a kindergarten.
You're right, Joe. Now, take a look at this time and distance chart. If we could persuade the British to station a string of sampans off the coast along here and give their people portable hand-crank radio senders like the Chinese use, you see that...
Sure. 1 hour's warning would solve all of our problems. We never get caught on the ground.
Yeah. By the way, young Hartney in our hospital?
Hartney? Oh, yes, at the bomber base. You know, if you could get to General Wavell and sell him on the idea of a Chinese pattern warning net,
I've already started on that maneuver. And before I forget, did you have the Williams boy scheduled for a patrol flight today?
Yes, he patrols from 5 to 6. Why?
Well, the kid should be feeling better by then.
Sure. No use babying him, eh?
No, don't baby him. War is hard. Sooner they learn that, the better.
Of course, I could stretch a point, sort of excuse Williams from the mission. But that would spoil Doc. What do you say, sir?
Entirely up to you. Entirely up to you.
Well, Doc's a sentimental old fuddy-duddy. As far as I'm concerned, the kid flies.
Lieutenant Savvy Williams, sitting in his room, utterly miserable and dejected. The vivid memory of Jigger, swathed in bandages on a hospital bed, rode him hard. It had shocked and stunned him at first. But now the old rage against Big Butch and Little Butch was seeping back into consciousness.
They did this. They did this to Jigger. I ought to go over and smack them both down. Let them kick me out of the army for it. That's what I ought to do. So I fly the patrol, do I? Sure, sure. So the skipper can be a tough guy. Get himself a pat on the back from Big Butch.
Come in.
Lieutenant Williams?
Yes? Oh, Colonel Anders, I thought that was... Excuse me, sir.
Sit down, son. After what you've been through today, knees are might wobbly, aren't they?
I'm all right, sir.
I phoned the hospital. The docs say Hartney will be good as new in a month or so.
Able to fly?
Maybe, but it's still tough. I've lost a lot of them that way. A lot of them for good and all.
Did it get to you in any way, sir?
Well, yes, it did. It hurts in a man's throat a while. It hurts underneath a lot longer. You look in the glass some morning, you see some more gray hair, some more wrinkles. You wonder why you didn't sit right down and cry it out at the time. You wonder why you couldn't, but of course that's impossible in our business.
Yes, sir.
With a war on, a man can't stop for tears or even to think very much, son.
You gotta be tough.
Tough? No, I wouldn't call it that. It's more like clinging to the job on hand and grabbing at it hard. The job saves us all in war. It pulls us out of funk holes, yanks us off our knees. I hope you'll remember that, Williams. It isn't much, but it's all I've ever learned to say.
Thank you, sir. I'll remember.
Good. Now, never mind your patrol. I've taken care of it.
Oh, you needn't have. I can do it, sir. It's...
Forget it. I've arranged the substitute. If Captain Deming should ask, just refer the matter to me.
Yes, sir. It's kind of you, Colonel.
Not at all. Good luck, son.
Thank you, sir.
Scotty. Hey, Scotty.
Huh?
I'm at the window.
Oh, yeah. Hey, what is it, Harry?
The skipper just called from the hospital. He says Jigger's feeling fine, and to tell you you're excused from patrol to say it. He's coming right over to take care of it.
The skipper? Well, thanks.
When Captain Deming climbed upstairs in his Warhawk at 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was a little surprised to find another P-40 beside his above the overcast at 20,000 feet.
Hello there. Hello there, Savvy. Didn't you get my message?
This isn't Lieutenant Williams, Joe.
Why, Colonel, what are you doing up here?
I'm flying the kids' patrol.
Oh, you are?
What are you doing?
Same thing, sir.
You big softy.
Softy yourself. This is pretty ridiculous. You go on home, sir.
No, I think I'll scout around a little now that I'm here. Let's go over toward the ocean.
Very well, sir.
That was the immediate prelude of the big Jap raid on our airdrome at Assam. 50 heavy enemy bombers and 45 Zero fighters came droning in from the sea. It was the enemy's very firm intention to flatten our installations, catch our planes on the ground, and wipe out the Assam base completely. The Japs were a formidable array, loaded with bombs, bristling with machine guns and cannons, the bombers streaming in two huge V formations, their fighter cover echeloned above them. We had just two P-40 Warhawks in the air.
Hey, Colonel! Colonel!
Yes, Joe?
Do you see what I see?
Saw them 30 seconds ago. I've already flashed the field.
They look like all the Japs in Burma.
I'm still counting. What's your guess?
Oh, about 100.
Near enough. I think you'd better hightail it home. Tell our people to hurry.
What are you going to do?
Oh, I'll foozle about, Joe. By the time you get back, I'll have them all counted.
Sir, I think I'll stay and help you count.
Sure you want to do that?
Yeah, let's get at him.
All right. We'll each take a bomber B. Try to break it up.
Well, anyway, we could be very annoying.
Good luck, Joe.
Good luck yourself, Roy.
Okay. Now.
Shark's teeth glistening wickedly, the two P-40s hurtled down upon the Jap bomber formation. Colonel Landers and Captain Deming were trying to buy a little time, not for themselves, but for the fighter squadron at Assam. Guns and cannons barking, they dived into the skyborne horror of whirling props and red-flicking tracer bullets. On that air battle reads, these two men bore the brunt of the attack while their supporting fighters on the ground were attempting to get into action. Captain Deming, courage and skill, and with utter disregard of his own safety, attacked the enemy again and again until he fell before the guns of an overwhelming number of Japanese fighters. The citation accompanying the award of the Silver Star says, his courage and determination to destroy the enemy will forever be an inspiration those who knew him. With Captain Deming gone, Colonel Landers continued fighting alone. For several minutes, he was the only American pilot in the air against the total enemy force. The citation accompanying the Silver Star awarded to Colonel Landers states that after the raid, as the enemy withdrew, he followed one group of fighters for 100 miles, making many attacks and shooting down 2 enemy fighters.
Guard us all the day long, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, and this busy world is hushed, and the fever of life is over, and our work is done. Then of thy mercy grant us a safe lodging, and a holy rest, and peace at the last. Amen. Colonel Landers has been asked to say a few words. Colonel Landers.
My friend, Captain Deming, died as a brave man and a soldier. We will remember that of him and wish, if that is our fate, to die as nobly. But he was a kindly man. His last mission was one of kindliness. I hope you boys will remember that, too. That is all.
Thank you.